Tremendous advancements have been made in the management of weakened bones, but there's still so much work to do as far as awareness for those of us at risk for osteoporosis. Today, we're talking with Professor Joseph Foldish on this episode of Hadassah On Call.
This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine. In each episode, we go behind the headlines with the Hadassah Medical Organization and look at the work changing what's possible, helping you understand the medical breakthroughs impacting our lives. From neurological malfunction to sexual dysfunction, from striving for peace through medicine to operating room robots, this is Hadassah On Call. Here's Melanie Cole.
My guest today is Professor Joseph Foldish. He's the senior physician and the former director of the Osteoporosis Center at the Hadassah Medical Organization in Jerusalem. Welcome, Professor. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to Hadassah Medical Organization.
Good evening, Melanie, and thank you for providing me with the opportunity to participate in this important podcast. And it's a very interesting question because just yesterday I celebrated 40 years for working at Hadassah. And all my life, actually, since I finished my military service as a medical officer, I've been working at Hadassah with the exception of 2 years, which I spent doing research at the Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit.
Wow, that is so interesting that you worked here in the States. So let's talk about osteoporosis, Professor. What is it? Explain to the listeners a little bit about what it is. And do we know what causes it? How would somebody even know if they had the early stages?
Generally speaking, osteoporosis is a condition of weakening of the bones, leading to their increased fragility. And the reason for this weakening of the bone is a combination of the reduction in the amount or the density or the bone mass, along with changes in the internal structure of the bones and with internal properties like elasticity. It is more common in elderly women and men, especially in postmenopausal women, but it could occur at any age in both sexes, provided there are some medical conditions or medications which are known to promote osteoporosis. One problem with osteoporosis, an important one, is that the disease is symptomless. So there are no signs, no symptoms that one can feel telling him that he is developing osteoporosis until the complication occurs, and the complication is the osteoporotic fractures. So it is very important to try and identify the condition before the fractures occur, and that is why it is important in certain circumstances to undergo the test of bone density, which is done by a machine called DEXA, which is short for dual energy X-ray absorptiometry.
Professor, sometimes when we see people and their shoulders are all hunched and their head is looking downward, we think osteoporosis, and we don't want that to happen to us. What bones does it typically affect?
That's a very good question because, interestingly, osteoporosis does not affect equally the whole skeleton, but there are several sites which there is predisposition for fractures, for osteoporotic fractures. Those sites, the important sites, include the spine, the spinal column, where fractures of the vertebrae can lead to loss of height and to the development of kyphosis or bending. The second important location is the hip joints or the femurs, with a very dangerous femoral fractures that usually necessitate surgery and can also end up with debilitating states. And other sites include the wrists, the ribs, the shoulder area, and the pelvis. These are the most frequently affected sites where the fractures occur.
Professor, is there a genetic component to osteoporosis? And also, is there a link between osteoporosis and menopause?
Well, there is genetic contribution to osteoporosis, just like we know there's a genetic component for heart condition. But it's not a direct genetic transmission. And along with the genetic predisposition, of course, there's a lot of importance to environmental or lifestyle factors, including physical activity, components of diet, smoking, normal hormonal development, etc.
Then let's speak a little bit about, you mentioned the DEXA scan. Who should get this bone density test, Professor? And what do the results mean? What are we to make of them?
Well, I will go back to the end of your previous question. Osteoporosis mostly affects postmenopausal women because of the loss of production of estrogen, which is otherwise manifested as the menopause. But it is important to remember that osteoporosis can also affect many men. The problem is that men are less aware of this condition, and probably they are less aware of health issues in general. And also they do not have that external sign of menopause which women have. So the target population for measuring bone density by DEXA, in my opinion, is every woman who reaches menopause, every man above the age of 65, and any man or woman who is known to suffer from a medical condition that we know can promote osteoporosis. I will just give a few examples. Celiac disease, multiple myeloma, hyperparathyroidism, or chronic steroid therapy. Just examples for conditions which can cause osteoporosis even in young men and women.
If somebody is diagnosed with osteopenia, they're told that they have the softening, the weakening of the bones that we mentioned at the beginning. What is the first line of defense?
Well, you mentioned the term osteopenia, so it is important to recognize that there is some difference between the term osteopenia and the term osteoporosis. Generally speaking, when we perform a bone density test, we categorize the result into three categories. One is normal bone, one is osteoporotic bone, and there is an intermediate condition which we call osteopenia. And this is the most tricky condition because once a person already has osteoporosis, usually we initiate treatment. And what we can do, what we can achieve by the treatment is usually arresting or slowing down further deterioration of bone density, but we are limited with our capabilities to restore the bone density. So that is why it is so important to try and recognize and identify conditions of osteopenia before fully developing osteoporosis, because there we can intervene and try to slow down the bone loss and prevent the development of full-blown osteoporosis. And what we can do, we can divide it into two parts. One relates to measures of lifestyle measures, like promoting physical activity, encouraging physical activity, especially activity types which are involved with bone loading or weight-bearing exercises. Then there are several diet-related factors, and especially we deal with the calcium and vitamin D, and there are recommendations for the amounts of vitamin D and calcium that need to be consumed after the menopause. We encourage a smoking cessation if necessary, and the woman is relatively young and she has a spontaneous or natural menopause at a young age, probably she deserves some hormone replacement for some years. And all these measures, we give them to patients with osteopenia or even with normal bone density, and as well as patients who already developed osteoporosis. But if osteoporosis develops, then often we also need to add medications, and there are several medications on the market which are FDA approved, and all were approved after they underwent serious medical studies, which showed that they reduced the risk of fracture significantly by about 50% compared to a control group which received placebo. So the purpose of the medication is not to correct the low bone density, because that is something we cannot really do. We can only very partially correct the density. But what we can do is significantly reduce the risk of future fractures.
That's great information and so important for listeners to hear. Professor, wrap it up for us. What you want the take-home message to be about osteoporosis, that risk of fractures, which is so, so important, and even the dietary concerns. You mentioned vitamin D and calcium. Again, so important. Please wrap it up with your best advice as an expert, what you would like us to take away from this episode.
I would like to spotlight 3 points. One is to carry on healthy lifestyle. Secondly, to undergo bone density tests periodically at the appropriate age. And finally, while I encourage the audience to read medical information publicly released in the media, it is very important that they will be aware of their limited availability to understand what they read. And I speak especially about the fears of side effects of intervention, which are often encouraged by media publications. And people should know that for every medication which is improved, there is the risk of side effects, but the risk of benefits far, far outweighs the risk of side effects. And I encourage that no one will abstain or from medication or discontinue medication without consulting with your physician.
Thank you so much, Professor, for being on with us today and for sharing your expertise from so many years of working with patients that might have osteoporosis or even the beginnings and the weakened bones and that risk of fractures. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us such important information. This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine, brought to you by Hadassah, the Women's Zionist Organization of America. The largest Jewish women's organization in America, Hadassah enhances the health of people worldwide through medical education, care, and research innovations at the Hadassah Medical Organization. For more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit Hadassah.org. And to hear more episodes in this podcast series, please visit Hadassah.org/podcasts. That's Hadassah.org/podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.